Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. This is episode number 319, and this is Stephen Zimmer broadcasting to you live out of the heart of Kentucky in Lexington. Shout out to our friends in Far Cry for graciously letting us use some of their song, Balance in our opener, and we're going to be getting underway with a great show tonight. I'm joined by two co-hosts, and they are both on right now. One from less than 20 feet away from me, the lovely, vivacious, engaged Holly Philippi, and then coming from parts unknown, the one behind the hashtag Dark Style, Daniel Dark. So, yes, we are underway with another Star Chamber show. And so who wants to go first on the early updates? Holly? Daniel?
Oh, well, I can just tell you I'm embroiled into Imaginarium. I'm getting programming wrapped up. Very close. A lot of people got their emails this week, as I promised, because last week I was in Indiana taking care of my daughter, who did have gallbladder surgery, and I had to take care of the three little ones. But surgery went well. She's doing good. Everybody survived. And that's about it. Just stay tuned for, I did add a few more panels. Stay tuned for the updates. Keep checking the website. Up until, it's go time. we're very excited, and I'm looking forward to July. All right, Daniel, what do you got going on, sir?
Well, you're talking to the Zoom king, I guess, today. I've been on Zoom calls since about 8 or 9 o'clock this morning. So,
oh god.
So, Wednesday's become a long day for me in a way. So,
I would say
trying to get everything done and stuff like that. The podcast is coming along fine and everything like that. Everything else that I've got going on is doing as well as can be expected. And I need to be doing more writing than what I'm doing, but that's just part of life right there. You always think you need to be doing more than what you're doing. So
true. Yeah, we all get into that headset, I've not felt real good today, and I was laying here after dinner, and I knew we had the show, and I wanted to go plant some seeds outside, and I'm laying here thinking, oh, man, I really should be out there planting. I really should. I just don't feel like it, And then it makes you feel bad because you want to be up doing something productive, And then you think about all the things you need to do, but it's never done. I mean, you can never be fully done with everything. There's always something else to do or that you could be doing. But sometimes you have to take care of you.
Yeah, I'll figure that out one day on that taking care of me.
yeah, you better figure that out or your body will say, you will figure this out. you gotta take you time too.
Yeah, it sounds
very
like
important.
our
balance.
Our Yeah, I was going to say it kind of mimics the our intro song from Far Cry, the song Balance, because that's basically what that song is about, is having balance in your world. So, I think we all need a little bit of that. And I do want to say hi. We got some great folks in the chat room early tonight. Tonight's guest is lurking in the chat room. We'll be on very shortly, so I will not say that just yet, because I want to give our guest a grand intro. We got Sandy Lender, the genre blender, and Tommy B. Smith, who was last week's guest. Please listen to that show if you have not already, because that was a good one, as all Tommy B. shows tend to be. So. Yes, looking over the chat room, and a good group in there. And yes, Tommy, you do need to be doing what you're doing, and it's in writing lots more books, absolutely, and hoarding cats. So keep up the good work there, Tommy.
Yes. You never have enough.
No, it's a. It's a good thing, and helps keep your sanity for sure. Yeah, the kitties. Oh. I know Albert and Vicky are keep me sane on many days. But we've been, like Holly said, just immersed in Imaginarium, and of course all the other sundry things that I do. And it's been very busy. I do want to say though that the film festival has been accepting more official selections from the late entries that came in on the late deadline. So there are some new ones being added. So keep watching our channels, because we're announcing each one individually. But there's more official selections being added in, I think, all categories. I know we had a couple more features to add, and then several short films. But it looks like a really good group. So that's getting rounded out as we speak. So that's kind of exciting. So I'm really eager to see the full field, because what we have so far is just fantastic. As I've mentioned before, top stuff.
So far, about how many films have we had enter?
We had a ton entered. I don't have those numbers with me here. Let's see. But, we've had, 8, let's see, about 24, probably about 40 selections at this point. Looks like about 40 have been officially selected at this point out of a much, much larger batch of entries. We had our largest number of submissions ever. But, it looks like we have about 40 selected at this point, and that's strictly the visual projects.
Yeah, entries is much higher. We got entries from just everywhere this year. This is most we've ever had.
Yeah. Very excited about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just been a wild ride, and good thing, I discussed it last year. Let's start announcing earlier. Let's get this done earlier, because we're growing, and thank God, because it's really tough right now. They've had a lot of films to view and go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot to go through, and so that's why it takes a little time. We decided this year not to just throw like a big list out there. We wanted to, make sure we highlight everybody in their own spotlight. So just doing a little differently, but several of the folks who have films in are coming. So it's nice to see we're getting a larger number of people who've gotten officially selected that actually are attending. Last year we saw a real improvement in that, and this year it looks like it's going to be even better as far as attending filmmakers. So the film side is really taking some great strides. No question about it. So that's good news. And then, like I said, I think last week is when I talked about the cosplay. Yeah, cosplay is looking really good. I mean, we've got some serious good momentum going on there right now with all the different groups that are going to be coming in and exhibiting actually in Creative's Alley and holding demos and demonstrations and all kinds of cool stuff. It's going to be a really, really cool environment this year. In addition to, as Holly mentioned, the extensive programming with literally even more being added right now, as if we didn't already have enough. Yeah, we even have new topics going up.
More.
Yeah, it's great. So.
Oh yeah, the Ghostbusters is going to be really cool. The Ghostbusters are coming. Who you got to call? But
yep.
They're going to be bringing some neat things to check out and do. And we have a shout out to Scott Cox that handles what is it, Lexicon Games?
Yeah, Lexicon and Sin City Con tabletop gaming conventions. Yeah, Lexington, Cincinnati tabletop gaming conventions.
He's going to be working with Josh Palmer and for Bloat Games, and Scott's going to run some really cool games outside the vending hall there. We're going to have tables set up. So, yeah, guys, I mean, this is a huge gaming year. There will be stuff going on at all times. Sandy Linder, I know, said, man, you know, let me know, because she would have played some stuff last year if she'd have known. The games go on, guys, up to like 1 o'clock in the morning. So when panels are done and the vending hall's closed and, you know, we got entertainment, we have gaming, we have films going up until 1 o'clock. I mean, we're still rocking. There's always something going.
Yep, I see Clayton joined the chat room, and so yes, I know for a fact that Clayton has cosplayed at conventions in the past, so yes, when he goes to his first Imaginarium this summer, he may be diving in the deep end and doing some cosplay, so I look forward to that. That's going to be fun.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Well, I tell you. Well, we're getting to the point where we're getting close to bringing on our guest, but I do want to go ahead and recognize our awesome, awesome folks that are bringing you the show tonight. And so bringing tonight's Star Chamber show live to you tonight is Sandy Linder and that rascal Ren Garcia. So I've got a new spot for Sandy Linder, so we'll hold that back for a second so you can really enjoy it, and then we'll go ahead and start with Ren with the big question. Here we go.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Go ahead. I'll take it. Yes, Ren, I am.
yes. Yes, we are, Ren Garcia. And
yep.
Daniel's just
I'll
weird enough.
Me. I'm just normal enough for you, Ren.
Yeah, just barely normal enough. That's right. But, yeah, and I should mention that Ren will be coming up in June as far as stopping by to update us on all his writing activities, and he's had some very unusual experiences that he's going to be talking about. I'll leave that as a teaser, but some very interesting stuff in terms of paranormal topics that Ren is going to be talking about in June, so be looking for that show. We'll be able to tell Ren that we're weird enough in person that night. But now we're going to go over to Sandy Linder, who is also bringing you tonight's show. So check it out, a new spot from Sandy.
We're counting down to Imaginarium 2022, and author Sandy Linder invites you to check out all the cool programming the conference has to offer, especially the short story Marathonarium workshop on July 7th. Make sure you stop by Sandy's booth in the fabulous exhibitor hall and get a copy of the Imagine finalist novel, Concussive. You can learn more at Sandy's website at Sandy Linder, Inc. That's Sandy Linder, Inc. with a K. And we'll see you in Louisville.
Well, thank you, Sandy. Thank you very much. And yes, definitely everyone coming needs to meet her. Look at our programming for the Marathonarium workshop she's talking about, because if you're in it, you're going to be in an actual print anthology. So check that out on the Imaginarium site in programming. So we're on time, believe it or not, Daniel and Holly. We're actually on schedule for our guest tonight. It's a miracle. But tonight's guest, I will go right into it, is a award-winning filmmaker, screenwriter, author, playwright, and podcaster who has won no less than 159 awards. Yes, you heard that right, 159 awards, and has a body of work that spans 29 books, 37 scripts, and 24 short films. Tonight's guest is also a mental health advocate who is the recipient of the prestigious TMIF Impact Award for Outstanding Achievement in Mental Health in Film. And so it is with great pleasure that I bring back tonight for a return to the Star Chamber show, the one, the only, Amy Lee McCorkle. Hello, Amy. Your mic should be on, and welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Amy.
You can add award-winning actress to that. We just won for the docudrama that we have at Imaginarium. They gave us a couple of awards there. One of them was Best Actress for me. I don't know how, but they gave it to me, so I'm going to take it. Take it
around. That's right.
Yeah, another more to add to your awards vault. It has to be in a vault at this point with that many awards that you have. But this is impressive. Congratulations. I knew you'd be updating us on a lot of stuff tonight, so you didn't waste any time. Now we have to add award-winning actress to your resume.
Yeah, I didn't expect it. But the reality of it is that it plays like a documentary, but I wrote it as a one-woman show, and then COVID hit, and then I couldn't do a theater or even a church because it was closed. Everything was closed, and at the end of the year, I didn't want it to just sit there, so I got together with Tim and his family and Missy, and over the course of 2 or 3 days, we shot it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And this is that Breaking Through? Is that the one you're speaking of?
Yeah, that's Breaking Through.
Okay, yeah, that is going to be screening at Imaginarium. And that was one of the official selections that made the cut.
Yes.
So,
and I found out my second music video got accepted today. So I'm really thrilled.
Fantastic.
You're not kidding. Your film festival has really grown this year. When I saw I don't give a crap if I win. It is so cool to be with all these really, really, like some of these films I've seen winning at the LA Film Awards. So, and
nice.
I know Thomas is always an excellent director. And I know Herschel is a wonderful director. And so it's really nice to see the film festival growing in both quantity and quality.
Yep, and participation. We really are, you know, took a stride last year. We had a lot of people that were selected that attended, and that was, for me, that was the sign that, you know, we're really looking for that to happen. And this year I've already received responses from more that are actually going to be there in person. So I think it's going to be a very lively indie film community, which is going to be great for the authors attending, because you'll have a lot of people to network with doing, you know, adapting your projects to visual mediums, TV, film, web series. So that's going to be great, a great environment.
Yeah.
And you know about networking, Amy. you know how valuable that is.
Networking is, of course, and we do have a quite a few coming from like LA this year, filmmakers.
All over.
So that'll be neat, you know.
Yep, yeah. We're actually going to keep the airport busy this year. A lot of folks are flying in. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm really happy to see it because I remember way back in 2014.
The little festival.
The little festival that could. Yes.
Yeah, not so little anymore.
It,
Tommy B goes back. He goes back to that one. He remembers. He knows. He's in the chat room.
But yeah. Amy, that's where Letters to Daniel was first screened, right?
The proof of concept documentary that cost me $345 to make, and I did everything myself.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yep.
Except
the road
that
began.
In 2014.
Except mm-hmm. for the song. The song at the end was by Danny Jones, and he's a local composer and a songwriter, and he initially lived in Indiana. He's been in Tennessee, and he allowed me to use that song, and that song for him has been a hit. But the very first incarnation of Letters to Daniel came about because I probably would have made it anyway, but it was precipitated. I'd be lying. I had a conversation with Steven. I used to bug him all the time on Facebook. I don't know how he put up with me, but that's bipolar disorder for you. I had a conversation. I said, do you have I knew you were going to be giving screenplay awards, and I didn't know how that would fit with a documentary. And I said, if I do a documentary, is there going to be a category there? But I wanted to make the documentary because I wanted to make a movie, not because I wanted a trophy, although I love trophies. I'm not going to lie. But I had a blog of the same name, and I took what you would say is the greatest hits into a narrative. And I read it myself, and I didn't know you're only supposed to show, still photograph for no more than 3 to 5 seconds at a time. And I broke all these rules because, you know, there's things you're supposed to do and not do. But I didn't go to film school. I went to make it till you figure it out. So, and Stephen graciously said, you may premiere it at the first Imaginarium, and we can do a Q&A, and you can do a book signing, because I had two volumes of letters at that point, volume one and volume two. And it was a very well-attended screening, considering it was the first film festival, and it was just like compared to what it is now. It was like I was very, you know, thrilled. I sold it was like the dream festival, and I got like a runner-up, and I was so happy to, you know, just to be screening, and I had a T-shirt made called it was the official sponsor of McCorkle Fest because Steven said to do it, and I had a picture of my cat on it. Speaking of cats, yay cats! Unfortunately, my cat. Luke passed away a couple of months ago, but I now have a rescue named Nancy, and she's slowly coming out into the rest of the house. At first, she would only stay. She actually hid inside the couch in the living room for 2 days, and we had to kind of herd her out and into my room. But she's okay, so she's starting to adjust. So I'm blabbering, so it's good.
Well, you'll have to bring Nancy to Imaginarium when she is ready, because our hotel does allow cats and other feathered and four-legged family members. Yeah, so yeah, I'm telling that for saying that for Sandy and Tommy's sake. Yeah, they want to bring some other guests, but yeah, they do allow it. And so yeah, we always bring we brought Albert and Vicky last year, and we're bringing them again this year. So yeah, it is an option. But yeah, I remember that first festival. You had a really good turnout. You sold a lot of books at that time. A large portion of your activity was book related, and certainly you haven't rested on that since. You've got 29 now, but you've really just gone deep into the film world. You have your own film festival. You're always screening and attending them all over the place, and I know you also keep your partner in crime, Missy Goodman, busy. So I would give a shout out to Missy tonight. Hallie and I miss her. Look forward to seeing her hopefully in July.
Yeah, Oh, she'll be there in July. She'll be there Friday all day.
Awesome.
And she'll be there Sunday all day, and then she has to work Saturday, but she'll be there for the award ceremony on Saturday.
Yep.
Fantastic.
The festival that I run, the Conquering Disabilities with Film International Film Festival, is now moved from Las Vegas to Los Angeles. And it's grouped with the Ethos Film Awards, News Fest, and the Los Angeles Asian Film Awards. And they're all grouped together. It's kind of the mega fest of, I don't want to say it's the mega fest because that was trademarked by Dell. And Dell's no longer with us. And AOF is doing a legacy year, but they're doing it online. And they've already closed the submission, unfortunately. Well, if you're a filmmaker, unfortunately, because like different festivals changed my life in different ways, and AOF just like blew it up. Like, you gave this wonderful platform to start, and you give all, you know, all levels, you know, like more advanced people can mentor and give advice to beginners, and beginners can come and get their feet wet. And, you know, it's a great place. And AOF is one of those places that their mission statement was, we want to be the person that says yes, because everybody says no all the time. Like, the first year I went there, there was like 400 films screening. Which is, like, right?
A lot.
Everybody does, but like I would say I have cornerstone festivals. Like, of course, there's Imaginarium because it's in Kentucky and it's where I started. And then there's Indie Gathering where I first really, there we go. Somebody was calling in. you know, I just feel like I've grown as a filmmaker through, and a writer through these different festivals at different stages. And it's nice to see Imaginarium blossoming in their film festival division, because I remember I used to sponsor when I had enough money to, but now then I started traveling as a filmmaker. So I quit. But I like when I did or do have the money, I like to, because it's like I said, when I was 19 or 20. We won't talk about how old I am because my birthday is next Wednesday.
Happy birthday in advance.
You
know, my Aunt Debbie, who passed away because of COVID, and my Uncle Frank, her husband, used to come every year. And then she got too sick because of her diabetes, and then she got COVID, and it was just, you know, and I was so happy whenever we had a live event last year. It was just so wonderful because I got to see Thomas and Nathan. I got to see you guys and eat the cake that Leah Pugh made. And she's made other cakes for me. And
yeah, it was really cool. That cake was neat.
Yeah, it was.
The guitar cake.
yes.
I'm blabbering on. Do you all have any questions for me? I could probably talk forever.
Well, you're the guest.
You're the guest, but yes, you. I mean, you mentioned you've been traveling, and folks, she is not kidding. I mean, she has been going to New York, to L.A., to Vegas. I mean, like, we're talking, like, all across. I mean, Amy has been maintaining a pretty crazy schedule, and you've done something that not a lot of independent creatives have been able to do. You've managed to secure and set up a team that includes an agent, a manager, and publicity. So if you want to give a shout-out to your team and talk a little bit about those working with you now, that'd be great, because that is a very cool area that you have going on.
Okay, so shout out to Marianne, my agent. Gamut Management. Gamut is a talent management team that specializes in managing only people who identify in the disability community, whether it's invisible or whether it's physical, or, you know, any number of things, and they represent you. If you want to be a model, if you want to be this, they're new, they're relatively new, but they are really an upstart, and the founder slash owner, Mindy Shire, was on The View about a month or two ago talking about it. And she championed, her son has autism, and so she started with, of course, what every mother does is they champion their children, and it just grew from there. And so that's what she does. And my publicist is Donna Nolan Wilson, and she's based out of Nashville. It's Song, Inside the Song Promotion. And she, whenever I have an award or something, she blasts it into the hemisphere. She actually tried she's actually in the process of trying to get me on State of Mind. And State of Mind is Maurice Bernard's mental health advocacy talk show. It's on YouTube, and he's actually there. They're going to do a television version of it. And what he does is he talks to actors and create. He does what I do with Recovery Unplugged. He talks to people, and it's not really an interview. It's a conversation about mental health and about how it fits in professionally and what their lives were like. And it's not one of those sensationalistic kind of things. There's usually some tears shed, there's some healing had, and, you know, I've been fortunate enough with Recovery Unplugged to be with the U.S. Hollywood International Golden Film Award. I was named Producer of the Year for my episode with Sophia Louise Lee, and she's an actress who I met at AOS. I didn't know this, but as we were talking and having the interview, she talked about what it was like having a mother with bipolar disorder in a time and in a family where it wasn't talked about, and she was raised by her grandparents. And so stuff like that really, the Mental Health in Film was like a collective award. It was for Letters to Daniel. The Impact Award for Letters to Daniel and for Recovery Unplugged, because I not only made a film about my life and my day-to-day recovery, but I call Recovery Unplugged my legacy show, a Letters to Daniel legacy show, because that show came directly from the work me and Missy put in to the film. Letters to Daniel, the narrative film. So I've been traveling. Actually, my most recent trip was to New York. And it's no secret, if you've been around the Imaginarium community, Letters to Daniel is Daniel Craig. And mm-hmm. I got up there, and I went to see Macbeth. And first of all, Macbeth was amazing. All the actors were amazing. I love Daniel, and he played a really good baddie in Macbeth. But before the show, I had a copy of the movie Letters to Daniel, an original copy of the revised edition of Letters to Daniel that had like 2/3 new material, and a Songbird, the book that it was a novel I wrote last year, or a novella I wrote last year. And I said, I don't mean to speak ill of New York, but this tall, older, white guy said, no, I'm not. I asked him if he would, you can say no without being a meanie, but he was just really rude. I kind of understand, because, you know, Daniel is like a big guy, like A-lister, and like stalkers are a real problem. But
right.
He was really rude about it, saying no.
Oh.
But there was this other security guard that overheard me, and he came over to me and he said, what you got there? And I told him, what the book was about and what the movie, what I'd done with the movie. And he goes, okay, wait a minute. Let me go to his bodyguard and see if he'll come out here and get it. So he went backstage. So he went backstage and was talking to Daniel's bodyguard, but Daniel was nearby doing the warm-up that actors do before they go on stage. And Daniel overheard them and said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And so Chris told me, and that was the security guard's name. I'll never forget his name. He said, well, and then Chris told Daniel what I had told him. And then Daniel got really excited. He said, listen, I can't take it directly because of this COVID situation right now. But if she ships them to me here and puts to Daniel Craig, care of Longacre Theater, I'll get them. And I want them. And so that's what I did. When we were in New York, the next day we got up to them and they arrived Friday of the week. And this was during previews, not the official opening night. And he said, and so he, I haven't heard anything back from him, but I know he got him because there was a tracking number that was automatically that I could punch in. I know he had accepted them. So
that is
then
awesome.
I get home. Yeah, I get home Saturday. I'm on my computer. I get this article in my email. It says, Daniel Craig test positive for COVID. Literally, we got in there on the second show. And we got back, and he got the books and everything before testing
and
positive.
And then tested.
For COVID. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I didn't give it to him.
That was close.
But I had COVID before. I had OG COVID.
Right.
And, but you know, that was, of course, probably the highlight. Like, I always wanted that to be done. I had countless people promise me they could do it. And some of them, you know, and basically some of them actually told me they did it. And of course, you know, they were probably lying to me. And, but the fact is, he got it, and even if I never hear from him, I know he got my movie, I know he got the books, and I was the one that did that with the help of a very kindly security guard, Chris. And if Chris, hey, Chris, thank you so much. You made one of my dreams come, my bucket list dreams come true. So to anybody out there who wants to do stuff like that, you know, it's possible. It happened for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's true.
And it's it's all about perseverance, because that's the one thing. I mean, you don't let setbacks get you too far down. You always have anything that's happened that's not been pleasant, you've always gotten up and marched forward again. I've watched that consistently across the years, and that shows a toughness that's not always present in all indie creatives, and that's definitely paying off now. Yeah, congrats on that. I love Recovery Unplugged. I think that is I'm glad you were talking about that. That was a great series. I had the honor of being in one of your episodes interviewed. But yeah, it's such a cool group of guests and topics, and yeah, definitely a wonderful series.
I'd love you to come on again and talk about Imaginarium, and I'm a much better host than I was when I.
Oh, you were great.
Mm-hmm. I didn't
that, that was fun.
No,
I thought you did wonderful.
Well,
yeah, you did wonderful. And then that was a good day, too, because we were, I remember, at Misty Parker's house. We were author Misty Parker. We were shooting at her house. And that was such a nice location. You set up at such a nice setting for us. And, yeah, definitely was a good memory. I enjoyed
it. Fantastic, you know. I love being on set. I miss it. I do not like pre-production. I hate it. I detest it. When I talk to individuals, it's funny because different things drive different people. And I said, listen, of course I want to. Once, I will say this, I was supposed to go to Burbank, like, the week after I went to New York, but I was exhausted. Like, I was totally drained, and then my cat died. And I was like, I can't go. But it was awful because Letters Daniel was nominated for two industry awards at the Indie Series Awards for Best Original Song and Best Original Score. And Stephanie ended up winning. So we actually have her trophy. I got to ship it to her father has a friend in the United States, and I'm shipping it to them. And then when they go to Germany, they're going to hand her the trophy. So it's a gorgeous crystal award. And I'm like, gosh, I wish I could keep this, but maybe another time they actually have time,
right?
You know, but I like two of the awards we won at the Critics' Choice International Film Festival. Two other ones were Best Cinematography and Best Editing. And what I like about that is they give individual certificates. And so I can digital certificates, by the way. And so I can give those to Tim. Since 2016, I was going to Vegas to participate in Action on Film. This year we've submitted Letters to Daniel and Breaking Through because they're two different categories. Kevin Smith has a film festival called Smodcastle. I don't know if the deadline is, but it may be a long shot getting in, but you know, I couldn't help it. Kevin Smith is one of my heroes. So, it would just be incredible if we got in there. It's like getting into Imaginarium. What's incredible about getting into Imaginarium's Film Festival this year is all not only with the great films, but, you know, there's people who come every year. The original who come, and then there's new blood coming in. And it's a local screening. So friends and family of mine who may not be able to get to these other festivals to see it can see it on a screen at a really nice hotel. And that's a beautiful thing to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And, it is nice. And that's one thing, I've enjoyed about last year, Imaginarium and all. It's like when you have a really nice facility, a really nice one, it just kind of lifts the mood automatically for anybody that's attending. So, when you have a beautiful place, it makes a difference. And, but I did want to say, Amy, you provide opportunities for lots of creatives and give them their time to shine. And that's actually going to be reflected at Imaginarium. And I figure you might want to talk about it because Holly had just recently told me, and we're getting the info up on the site. But at the awards banquet, we actually have a performance that relates to you and your productions. So, Holly, do you want to talk a little bit about that with Amy? Because I think that would be cool, a good segue about how Amy creates opportunities for other creatives.
Well, Amy come to me and says, hey, you know, I have this wonderful lady that I work with, Lena. She goes by Lena. She's a wonderful singer, and I've heard her. Amy has sent me some a track, you know, sent me some songs. And Amy could tell you what she's exactly going to sing because it's exciting and it'll be neat for Amy. And it ties into the whole film festival. You know, it's like full circle, honestly, with, you know, Letters to Daniel and Amy being at the first Imaginarium and getting to screen her film. And, you know, she's come a long way, you know. And I'm really excited for it. I cannot wait to hear the song. And it'll segue, you know, perfectly right into the film awards. So, Amy, tell us what she's going to be singing.
She's going to be singing Waterfalls not TLC, Waters Hole, but a song collaborated on called Waterfalls, and we're doing a musical version of Letters to Daniel. And that's one of the first tracks she did. But initially, I only had a phone recording to put under the video I kind of put together.
Right.
And then she got it. Well, can you change the track? I was like, well, yeah, I can do it. I don't know if the deadline will change, but I do want to do that for future, you know, going forward. So I put in the most updated master track, and it talks about what it's like to be suffering from either a depression or a dysphoric mania. And what a dysphoric mania is that you are cycling so fast, you are experiencing both symptoms of depression and mania at the same time. And it is like physically, like it is physically and mentally and emotionally, it's like being in a hell is the best way to put it. And she sings it, and I talked about one time how when me and Missy were in Texas, I cried for 8 hours straight. Like, I started crying, and I didn't stop crying for 8 hours. And she's going to be singing that song. And I'm really looking forward to her singing and singing it live, because she's got a beautiful voice. Because even her phone track, the track was just a basic beat, but her voice was so strong that I'm sure that that's the reason why Waterfalls got accepted into your all festival. So, but I snapped in the fresh track, and she will be singing with the mastered background and harmonies on a track, and she's going to sing Waterfalls for the audience.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yep. Looking forward to it.
It's going to be emotional, and it's, yeah. I know my daughter will definitely be looking forward to it, too. So she suffers with, you know, bipolar, so this will really hit close to home, and I know I keep telling her, you guys need to actually meet. You guys have never formally met yet, because everybody's so busy running around, you know, all over the place. But yeah, you guys have definitely got to meet this year.
Well, tell her to grab me, and we'll sit down and talk. I love to talk about mental health and stuff like that. I could talk about it till I'm blue in the face. I usually worry about boring people about it.
No, because more people suffer than we're even aware. You know, they suffer in silence, and you're bringing light to all of that and showing that, you know, you don't have to. There is no embarrassment in having mental health, you know, issues. It's just like if you had an issue with your thyroid, or if you had something going on, you know, with your heart. It's all about the physical. There's physical things going on, you know, with the neurotransmitters, or it could be, you know, many other things. Could be past traumas. I mean, you know, nobody's getting through life without any kind of obstacle. I don't care who you are, you know.
Interested to
nobody,
know.
Even the royal family, have obstacles, you know.
Oh, they're not talking about that too much.
Well, no, but a little less than us, but they definitely have their their drama, you know. They still deal with them.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just not money problems.
Yeah.
Lena actually suffers from fibromyalgia and MS. And
she has both.
Yeah. And I was talking to her.
Oh, I would love to talk to her.
And when we were talking, because she was giving me the mastered track, right? And all of a sudden she just had was having pain. And she was all dressed up and I felt so sorry for her. She was on the verge of tears. And I'm like, I really admire her because she's also got a daughter who has issues. And I don't know if the daughter is coming with her. Olivia is her daughter, and she's about 3 or 4. It depends on if she stays with her father or not. Because, you know, sometimes the mom and dad aren't a couple anymore. But but she may or may not come with her. That part is not clear. But I said, this is a family-friendly event, Lena. You'll love them.
Mm-hmm.
They're very supportive. I think it's going to be a lovely time. And, when I heard the song, I was like, wow. And I played it for my cousin Crystal, whose brother is also my cousin Logan, and he suffers from bipolar disorder. Unfortunately, she is watching him disappear inside of the illness because he won't stay. So if you all just say a few prayers for them. But when she listened to the song, I could tell it really affected her because she understood.
Yeah, to head home.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It does for a lot of people. And like I said, you know, we either know someone or relate it to someone or themselves, you know.
Oh, definitely.
And especially the past 2 years, the past – shoo, you know. It made things so much worse, and it caused so many other people that normally didn't have problems to have problems.
Children.
So,
I'll tell you where it's hit hard.
Children are
having problems. Developing children. It's been awful for them, this whole thing with masks and all. It's been a very difficult period for them.
When I had it, I was hospitalized for 8 days. I was on 5 liters of oxygen, like on the verge of, they go, well, if you don't respond to this, we have to put you on a ventilator.
Wow.
You know, you don't want to hear that. And at that time, the treatments were all experimental. Like I got what the president got. Again, when I went in, they started pushing it immediately, and nobody wants to come in the room, and everybody's scared to touch you. Nobody wants to touch you.
Right.
Nobody wants to help shower you. It's awful.
It's sad.
But what was the worst, I had already lost my Aunt Debbie, but when I went into the hospital, my Aunt Rosie went into the hospital, and she didn't make it out.
Same time. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the worst, I think, I thought, you know, there was like 4 or 5 people I lost in a row over the course of, and COVID started to where it's at now. And the one that really served to destabilize me the most was probably Dale's death. And
we were very saddened.
He just, you know, he wasn't just my mentor. He was like that with everybody. But he had that kind of big, bigger than life personality and
force of nature. He was a force. And I was always hoping, you know, we could get him out to Imaginarium, you know, and that we could go out there and attend, you know, that festival too. But yeah, it's very disheartening. We never got to meet him in person.
He did.
Right.
Like, whenever you shared a picture of Raiden, the pilot, a picture from the pilot, he and Teresa both liked it, meaning they wanted to see it in their festival. And and, you know, good. Like, they are the kind of people that if they believe in you, they, like, Dell's talent, like, he was a great actor, a great writer, a great, you know, what director. He was like a creative at heart. But his he would tell you himself out of his own mouth, his number one talent was picking winners. Like, he could take a look at my little $345 documentary, proof of concept documentary that had, like, no productive value, nothing but the story, and he could tell you I'd be where I'm at right now. He told me, he goes, Amy, I'd be surprised if you didn't win the Oscar. And nobody ever said that to me before.
Right.
Not even
right.
Right. It's like, and he's in the industry. Like, he was in movies and stuff like that, in industry movies. And but when someone believes in you in that way, it makes you believe. Like, you believe in yourself because
they will. Yeah, you do.
And
right.
Makes such a difference.
Gives you that extra push. You know.
Yeah, and it's been hard finding my footing since then. But I can't go on. It's not like that. But I was writing a nonfiction book about him, and I was writing a chapter, and I was listening to music on YouTube, and the song never on a playlist, and I wasn't watching the videos I was writing. And the song from the Showman, Never Enough, came on, and it was like midnight.
Oh, that song's
Yeah, and I was like, so fortunately, I wasn't drinking anything harder than coffee, so, but I did cry, because everybody was in bed, you know, everybody was in bed and asleep, and I could just let it out of my system, so. Grief, you know, is a mental health thing, and if you don't address it, it sneaks up on you, you know. So.
Yep. That's true.
But
that's why I said it's harder. You know, it's harder on the people that's left than it is the people that's gone. You know, it's the people that left that suffer.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's tough.
But
yeah, because it's go ahead, Amy.
I was going to say there were three festivals then, you know. There was the beginning with Imaginarium, and then because I really, in the beginning stages, I felt like Imaginarium was primarily this writing convention in the first years, like in the first 1 to 3 years, it really focused on the writing, and it had like a nice festival attached to it. But I didn't, right? But our pure film festival, like, that was just the film festival, and it wasn't something that included everybody, all creatives, was Indie Gathering, and they're in Cleveland. And I was like, oh my God, they awarded my movie, and they didn't screen it. Imaginarium still holds that, you know, but I've watched Imaginarium grow. And whenever AOF has kind of contracted right now, maybe like in a couple of years, they'll expand again. But it was like each festival gave me something different. Like, you all were there. You were so genius. You brought the badges for Imaginarium 1 year. And we used them as props in the Letters to Daniel movie.
Yes, we did.
I found ones from, like, what was it, 2014, and I dug and found some T-shirts. So, you know, we all have, like, you know, Imaginarium 2014
authentic
T-shirts on. Yeah, I mean, it's just great. I still got them in a bag.
And some of the best cameos ever from yours truly and Holly.
And Tony Acree.
Tony Acree was in there, yeah.
You know, it was just, you know, making Letters to Daniel, a lot of the time you don't necessarily, like, when I went to these festivals, the way I built my team was there was a little bit from a lot of people from Indie Gathering, including my composer, I met one year. And it's like certain festivals I go to every year. And I go to you, and I go to Indie Gathering, like, and then I was going to AOF. But now there's, you just have to grow, you know, when something goes back, you just, right? And I see, you know, I'm going to say something. You know, when a certain element left Imaginarium, for a couple of years, I really didn't enjoy coming because I felt disrespected by these people.
Right.
But when they left, that joy returned. And it's when mm-hmm. we screened Letters to Daniel. And it was the projector was kind of off center, and Silvio went up to the front and centered it so the movie played properly on the screen.
Well, there you go. Silvio's got it.
Silvio to the rescue.
And I'll never forget, meeting Thomas in 2016, and it was just very hard to feel like I had a place there, and it was only for one or two years, and it wasn't coming from you, Stephen, or Holly, or even any of the authors and filmmakers there. It was from that element.
Right. Right. And, it made a huge difference. Yeah, you're not the first one to tell us that. And I wish more people would have said something prior, but, you know, uh-huh. we have grew leaps and bounds since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really sometimes, yeah, you have those bumps and, yeah, you have
yep.
those bumps and sometimes you have people that you think you can, you know, trust and so forth turn out not to be so trustworthy, but it happens.
Yeah, we've learned the hard way.
Yeah, you take a few hits along the way as you grow, but if you don't, if you do anything in the creative world, you're going to run into, you know, things like that. It's not it's not something you can avoid. It's unfortunately.
One thing I got, I can give people the link because you can join it. But I got an invite from a place called based out of Australia called Apogeo Publications. .com, and it's an e-commerce ecosystem for creatives to connect writers to producers to directors, and in order to be a part of it, it's just $10 a month, and you are connected with major people, like people who have done big things, and I never heard of them until I got an invite a couple of months ago to send some one sheet, and they picked four of mine and Missy's projects to showcase at the Cannes Film Market. And Recovery Unplugged as a TV show was one of them. It scored 4 out of 5 stars with the market in Cannes, and The Guardian scored this, and then When Doves Cry and You're the Reason were 5 out of 5 stars. And so there's more information coming down the pipeline. They only took 26 projects to the market. And that was exciting. And we got a lot of good traction from that. And I can't say much else. but anybody can be a part of Apogeo Publications. So if anybody is out there and they're a writer and they're trying to get their script produced and they want to connect with a producer or talk to a producer or whatever, go to apogeopublications.com.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Very cool.
And
I
want to give you a chance. Oh, go ahead, Tali.
Oh, no, you go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, before we get too deep into the show here, I do want to bring up your book side because you are a very prolific writer. You have 29 titles out, and I want to ask you what you have going on the book side of things because we haven't talked about that too much yet. But how is writing going for you now in terms of what you're working on now or have being released actively right now?
Okay, so actively, I have a podcast on Amazon and Podbean called The Vigilante. I haven't recorded the last two or three episodes, but I've also written it, and it's available on Kindle Vella as a written short story. It's about 11 or 12,000 words. And then I'm writing the sequel. I'm writing in Kindle Vella a lot because I'm overwhelmed with stuff. And those short chapters keep me going. And, like, I already got a bonus on Kindle Vella. So it's a good platform. They haven't changed the algorithm yet. So, you know, God willing, and they don't change the algorithm anytime soon, I'll make some money on that. They did, there was an offer floating around of a lot of money, but what happened was the person connected with that to make it happen all the way. She got a job with Lifetime Television, and she just kind of radio silenced me. So, you know, easy come, easy go. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
that happens.
And one of the things still happening is I do still have a limited series developing with Cowan Entertainment, and it's at a point where it's in her hands. She decides whether or not to package it and send it and shop it. So fingers crossed that next year this time or the next or a replacement series or something on a streamer.
Yeah.
But the Letters to Daniel Limited series is still a thing. So it's still an actual thing developed. So, and I've also got a nonfiction book that I'm writing called The Call. And it's about to get to where I'm at and how I did it and how to address your mental health in the process. And I'm shopping that around. I've got a book proposal for that. And I'm shopping it around to whoever is interested, basically, you know.
Nice. Well done. All right. Yeah, I want to get an update on your writing because that's a big part of your world. You've certainly got a lot of titles out there, and you've written in many genres, I might add, not just one or two. Yeah. Multi-genre author.
What's your favorite genre to write, either screenwriting or books, or tell us both? What's your favorite screenwriting genre, and what's your favorite book genre to write in?
Oh, yeah, good question.
Favorite genre. I like revenge novels, like where there's a badass bitch, and she, like, right? Like, I like James fun, mercenary kind of female and with an element of romance in it and I also I like to write I would say, the market calls it women's fiction, but let's get real, it's only called women's fiction because women write it fiction. That's what it is. It's fiction about women with women centered stories. But I like genre, I like thriller, like romantic thrillers. And I like dystopian, and I like to write those. It just depends. I like love stories. I'm a sucker for a good love story in any genre.
Mm-hmm.
I've written sci-fi. Gemini Rising was probably my proudest early work, and then I transferred it to a script, and that got me written word, like most likely to be produced at AOF. And last year, I won Writer of the Year at AOF. So those are like, they get like 1,000 to 3,000 entries in the written category. So I'm, like, really proud of that one. I'd like to win a writing award in screenwriting at Imaginarium. I'd be incredibly proud of that, but I'm incredibly tough that I won two Imagines unfortunately, it was during COVID, and I had to wait. I had to wait a year to get them. But it was still nice to get them at last year's ceremony because, you know, there's a bit of pride in that something to believe in got best nonfiction, and Dell wrote the foreword to that book. And he said
right.
a very nice thing.
Right,
company.
Special. Definitely special.
So that was, yeah.
So what was your early muse? What actually, you know, drove you to, I'm going to write a book or I'm going to write a screenplay? And which did you write first?
Okay, so when I was in elementary school, there was something called the Success Program. And they taught in different notebooks, like different subjects had different notebooks, and they had mm-hmm. one called English Composition, and they would give you a proof, like, right, like a starting off sentence, and then they would tell you had to write a short story, and we did that once a week, and I always looked forward to that, and there were, you know, it's so funny, it's sad at the same time, but there were four of us in the fourth grade who were in the Success Program. And, you know, the whole class was, but there were four of us who liked creative writing. And we were like, friendly competition would see who had the best short story, right? It was me, Andrew Underwood, Joe Leonard, and Chris Thacker. And I remember writing stories once a week in Miss Monholland's class and just enjoying it. And I was always a big reader, and movies and TV were always an escape for me. I talk about mm-hmm. it in breaking through, but my first muse, I don't know if anybody in the chat room remembers this, but there was an anime or very long time ago called Battle of the Planets. And they would say transmute, and they would turn, they would have like capes, and they were like birds, right? And the hero wore white, and the character's name was Mark. So I had a crush on an anime character. So that was my first muse when I was like 4 or 5
nice.
Years old. And I wrote a book first because they had a competition in Kentucky called Young Authors, sponsored by the Bingham family. The time before it long began, it or whatever the hell, they owned
mm-hmm.
the Courier Journal. And the Courier Journal
oh.
sponsored the authors competition. And 1 year I wrote a book or a short story, but it was like 8 or 9 pages, about, it was a World War II romance. And I won the 8th grade school-wide competition. And then it went to state, but mm-hmm. I didn't want to go first, but it was like this big county-wide county-wide award ceremony. And I got like a little medal, said school winner, and my English teacher was so mad. She said, nobody writes this level. How can, I'm like, oh, I'm not, I don't care. I got my medal.
I don't care about you.
Awesome.
Right.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So now it's just nice. Even if I don't, you know, win an award for the movies, it doesn't matter to me, because if I get nominated, that's the win. Because there's also,
right.
look, I saw the documentary. I'm not an idiot. So, you know, I usually know my chances going in. But, you know, if I get nominated, the win at a film festival, if you have a film, is getting into the film festival and your film screening. Doesn't matter
true.
If you win or not.
Right.
Very true.
At least your film's
very
being
true.
Screened. Yeah, it's
yeah.
being seen. It's being put out
uh-huh.
there. Yeah.
Showcase, spotlighted.
And,
yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
When it comes
networking.
To think, I'm confident enough in my writing because it has grown. The award total has grown. It's over 200 now since the last time I looked at bio.
Oh, wow.
We need to get that sucker updated then.
Yeah, you have to update your bio on the site. Just put up a counter.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to announce screenwriting finalists? Or are you going to do those one at a time too?
No, screenwriting finalists, those will be announced as like the Imagine Awards finalists. Those will be announced as a group. So those are individual. So, yeah,
okay.
That will. So that'll be coming. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled.
We got the judges working. They're working.
Yep. They are working, and believe me, when I say working, they are.
We have nothing to do with it.
Not Holly or myself. Holly and myself are swamped with everything else, but yeah, the judges are quite busy right now.
It's like Santa and the elves. They're the elves.
Yes,
we're
Santa and the elves.
And this is Claus.
Oh, jeez.
Two awards that I wanted to give, and I wanted to tell you what the title of the awards are. One is an Overcomer Award, and the other one is the Del Weston Excellence in Filmmaking Award.
Very cool. Nice.
And
nice.
I just ordered them today. So that
cool.
was fun.
So cool. Well, give us a picture of where you're going to be going. I mean, obviously, you're going to be at Imaginarium, but what does your next few months look like in terms of festivals, conventions, signings, anything?
Okay. Well, I'm going to be at next weekend, actually, is not a trip about me, but it's the sister festival to Indie Gathering. It's Horver Hotel. My nephew made an experimental film. And he's 9 years old, and he has autism, and it won fourth place in the student film competition up there. So we're taking him for a hotel, and he gets to collect his award. The nice thing about Horror Hotel and both Indie Gathering is you're not competing against another film, per se. You're competing against the scores. That's what's unique about them. It's like 1 to 100%. If you score, like for a Horror Hotel, you have to score at least an 85% to get an honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
And then the higher you go is like the top four. They go top 1, 2, 3, 4, honorable mention. But they don't necessarily automatically award all the places. Your film has to qualify. And then Indie Gathering, it's 90%. You have to score at least a 90% to get an honorable mention. And they do that with scripts and films, and they do them in category awards and then overall awards. Like, if you wrote a drama, it would only compete against other drama scripts. If you wrote a sci-fi script, it would only compete against other sci-fi scripts. Like, you know, you're in a category.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they do the overall awards. You have to place at least first to be in the running for that. And the prize they give is they give trophies to first and second, plaques to third, fourth, and honorable mention, and then the championship overall belt for film, script, acting, stunt competition, makeup effects competition, our championship, you know, like heavyweight belts in wrestling. That's their championship prize. I love all. So,
that's cool.
We'll be going. So Horror Hotel, Imaginarium, Indie Gathering. I know in November I'll be going to L.A. for the Conquering Disabilities in Film. They also, Horror Hotel and Indie Gathering, have a quaint vendor room. I say quaint because when I walked in there the very first time, they have excellent professional panels, like blow your mind kind of stuff, you know. But I walked into the vendor room. It's not a vendor hall. It's a vendor room. There were 15 tables, and no one was down there at 11 a.m. except me.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, they were all hung over from the networking party the night before.
Well,
oh dear.
You know,
yes.
That's why I'm so thankful. We have grown to the point where I have minions now. Because,
yeah,
Friday and Saturday night gets pretty rough for me at Imaginarium.
Well, it's just busy.
Yeah.
How did you handle Nick's seizure, like, amazingly? Like, it was
incredible.
That shook me. That shook me hard because I watched him go down. Me and Thomas were like, oh, my God. We were like going, Holly, Holly.
Yeah, I know. I heard everybody hollering Holly, and I lost my shoe. I don't know how many people got that, but my shoe fell off because I immediately hit the floor because I went to the floor with Nick, and I hit the floor, and my shoe come off in the process, and somebody grabbed it for me because they seen it fly off, but, yeah, when everything was calmed down. But, yeah, that was phew, that was,
and
frightening,
and Nick,
but he's doing famously now. I mean, he's
been
great.
I must mention, he will be there with all bells and whistles at Imaginarium. He's excited. He's healthy. Yeah, so you'll get to see him again in July. He's all ready to go.
He's doing all 3 days now. All three.
All three.
Well, I will also be at the Shepherdsville Farmer Market the weekend after for hotel. And, so I don't know. I've submitted to a lot of festivals, and like I said, there was Smod Castle. I hope I get into Smod Castle. That would be awesome. I've submitted to Sundance. That is like pie in the sky. We'll see what happens. You know, cause it's
oh, man, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But you got to try. Yep.
So yep. I think. There'll be, and there's a New York book signing coming up, but I have to get that scheduled. So.
Yeah, when are you going to New York?
I said I was going again, but the person I was supposed to be staying with has COVID.
Uh-huh.
And I know.
Oh, gone.
Yeah, and I just, you know, having had it once, and being really sick with it, I know there's a chance that it could come back around. I got really lucky in that I survived, for one, and that, two, I didn't get long COVID. And I know there are people still struggling with that.
We got hammered with the long version, and it was, but we got it right at the beginning. It was like March of
2020. We were OG COVID too. Yep.
Yeah, and it's sucked, and I have COPD. So, I mean, I'll never get my full lung capacity back, never. But, I mean, we've come leaps and bounds, you know? And we just one foot in front of the other, you know? We got to keep moving, advancing.
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
And
coming up on about
are a part of that.
Yes.
Coming up on the show.
We're coming up on about 6 minutes left, Amy. So I do want to give you a chance to talk about all the awesome places to connect with you, social media, websites, anything where prospective fans and fans can find you online and follow you.
Okay, well, I'm at Amy Lee, L-E-E, creations.com, and you can see what I'm up to. I'm also a consultant. If you want me to work with you, my rate is on the, because these days I've got so many projects, that I got to be selective about what I do outside of it. And I'd like to be selective with you, Stephen and Holly. but I just like to. So, hint. See where else? I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook as Amy Lee McCorkle. On Twitter as Amy L. McCorkle. Instagram as Letters to Daniel. LinkedIn as Amy, I don't know if it's Amy McCorkle or Amy Lee McCorkle, but it'll have a big K next to my face if you see it. So that's pretty much where I'm at. All of my
All right.
If you want to email, yeah, if you are interested in working with me on any of my projects that I mentioned, like You're the Reason or the Traveler's Trilogy, which is a vampire trilogy, which I'm filming
Ooh.
A proof of concept for,
Ooh.
Kind of in the back.
I'll play a dead person.
So that is, you can reach me at amyytr7@gmail.com. And if you want to reach out to me for any other reason, I'm at klind75@gmail.com. I think that's it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Holly, do you have any more last things you want to cover real quick with Amy before we run out of time?
No, just is there anything, Amy, that you want to mention that
yep.
we haven't?
Gosh, you know, it's hard because, so many good – no, I think you all actually did a good job in covering it, and then I
battled thank you.
Enough. Oh, yeah. I'm developing – I know that with certain things happening – I went out for the first time since it had my parents tend to watch the news a lot, and a lot of the information about the kiddos slipped in my head, and I went out to eat and have a business meeting and had an anxiety attack right in the middle of it. And anybody else that's dealing with anxiety, you know, it's like my therapist says, I don't like to be ignorant of things going on around me, but there's things I do avoid for my own mental health. So be
Triggers,
sure
yeah.
to take care of yourself. Be sure to take
mm-hmm.
care of yourself. It's okay
yes.
to rest.
100%. That's true.
Yep.
We
were talking about that in the beginning of the show. It's a perfect bookend.
We were.
That's awesome. Yeah. And, but yeah, thank you, Amy. And, yeah, folks, yeah, next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah. Join us for another edition of the Star Chamber Show live podcast, but I'll turn it over to Amy to say good night. And then Holly and Daniel, take us out.
Good night.
Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
Night, hon.
Night.
Join us next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, for another creative, another good chat, live and learn, keep creating, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Dark.
And tonight we had probably one of the most prolific artists that we have on the show, and she is doing so much, and basically can throw down the gauntlet to anybody to outdo her. You've got it in you to outdo Amy. If you do, keep being creative and find out what your purpose in life is and how you can make joy in other people. Until we talk again next week, this is Daniel Dark signing off.